I'm Julie Kane, and this is Audiograph. And if this sounds familiar to you, that's because this is how we start our sonic guessing game on KALW every week. Since the beginning of the year, we've been playing you a sound and asking you to guess what it is and where it's from. Then we tell you the story behind the sound. Today, we're going to listen back to some of our favorites, and some you might have missed. We're going to start with a sound suggested by a listener, Bob Boynton. It's a sound you can usually only hear on a Wednesday around 11 a.m., but on August 6, 2012, it meant something different. A fire at the Chevron refinery in Richmond.
People first started hearing explosions about 6:15 this evening, and that's when they started seeing the huge fire and thick black smoke spewing into the air. About 5 minutes later, sirens started blaring, alerting people to stay indoors.
The city confirmed that not all emergency sirens went off that day, but the ones closest to the refinery did sound. KALW's Mary Reese traveled to Richmond to get to the bottom of what this sound means and the role it plays in people's daily lives.
My name's Tommy. That's T-O-M-M-I-E, Thomas. I live in Richmond Hilltop.
Please tell me where you were a year ago when the Chevron fire happened and what you did and how you knew what to do.
I was at home. And where I live at, there's a siren right on the pole, right close to my house. The reason why I knew something was going on, I was looking out of my kitchen window and I saw my neighbors on the street and they were looking up in the air. And I was wondering what's going on, so I came out the door, went out, went down. They pointed up, and I seen this big cloud coming over. And then I could see the refinery from my house. Then I knew it was a fire. But I didn't hear any siren. There wasn't any siren.
Even though you were right there next to it?
Right, because right now I'm retired. So when the thing comes on, a lot of times at home, all the dogs start barking, and I jump up myself just to look around, you know. So
how does it make you feel these days?
Nervous inside, because I don't really know what's going on. It's a bad sound. It makes you nervous.
Please tell me your name.
Oh, it's Teresa Gonzalez.
Do you remember where you were a year ago when the Chevron refinery fire happened?
I was at my house. My uncle called me. He texted my sisters, and everyone was like, don't go out, mostly because I have asthma, so they didn't want me to go out. But I usually hear it. The first time I heard it, I was like, whoa, what's going on? But then I started hearing it every Wednesday because I'm in independent studies, so every Wednesday I would go to school, and every time I would go to school, I would hear it. Someone I know, they told me, hey, what's that noise? I was like, oh, it's fine. It's Wednesday today. That's it just reminds me that it's Wednesday.
Could you imitate the alarm sound for me?
It's just like, let me see. It's really loud, but I'm not going to do the loud sound. It's just goes like, woo, and it goes on and on for a whole long time.
So you can't escape it?
No.
A sound like that doesn't just tie us to place, it ties us to time and to routine. And that's what our next sound is all about, too.
Down on the yard.
Cookies on the tier, cookies.
$1 all on the line. $1 all on the line.
Strip down.
Ting, 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 ting.
Second tier, chow time.
5 minutes to lock up.
Can you guess where those sounds were recorded and who's making them? I'll give you a second. Okay, ready?
We are the San Quentin Prison Report Radio Project, and we're speaking to you from inside San Quentin State Prison.
Yes, those reporters are currently serving time at San Quentin, and they aren't allowed to take their microphones out of their recording room without special permission. So when KALW's Martina Castro visited them, she asked them to imitate the sounds of their daily life.
Okay, so we're just going to talk about sounds of San Quentin.
This is the one recording I was able to make that day. I used a microphone the SQPR reporters had connected to one of their computers in their makeshift production studio. You know, for a lot of people, describing the sounds of where they live is hard. But these guys, they jumped right in.
Guard keys. Ching, 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 ching.
San Quentin's alarm.
They count everybody inside of the prison. It's counted at about 3:30, 4 o'clock. Ding! 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 13 to start, 3 to stop. Every day.
5 minutes to lock up.
And when does that happen?
About 9 o'clock.
5 minutes for child. Yeah, 5 down and 1 up, like for the tiers, because it's one of the 5 tiers. So they say start from the 5th tier down or from the 1st tier up.
So you're listening for your tier number.
This is for your tier number. So they say second tier, child time.
What else? What are some other sounds?
The showers.
Shh. You walk in the tiers. Cookies on the tier. Cookies.
Get
all
on the line.
All on the line.
The dude selling little bottles of oil for a dollar. The dude has a little rhythm. He says, $1 all on the line. $1 all on the line.
You can hear in the game, you like, 15. Fool out domino. Fool domino with 25.
Down on the yard. So that means that a fight has occurred or something medical has occurred, so we have to get out.
These sounds are a big part of the regimented and repetitive life in there. Even the dreaded clanging of the old pipes, which often interrupt their recordings.
Clack, 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 clack.
But the best, the absolute best sound of San Quentin for June 21st, 2013 is happy birthday to you.
All of a sudden, the guys began to sing to radio producer Nigel Poor. She volunteers at San Quentin.
To you
and then it was time to wrap things up. But one of the guys, Greg Eskridge, he had a question for me.
So when you go home right now, go back into the world, one of your friends say, so how was it going to a prison?
Oh, I'm going to tell him it's just like, almost like regular life.
Almost. You know, part of me is embarrassed to hear myself say that. Clearly, prison life isn't normal. But there was something really comfortable and normal about how I felt right then. In this room full of men convicted of serious crimes. I never in a million years thought that possible. But there we were, and it felt almost like everyday life. The last sound I remember from my visit was the voice of one of the inmate reporters who said to me as we were exchanging goodbyes, "Don't let people out there forget about us. Tell them we are here paying for our crimes and we are still redeemable. Tell them we can be rehabilitated and return to the world better people."
No one got that one right. It's a sound a lot of people haven't heard, but it's revealing, right? And that's the kind of place we want to take you with this project. What else do you hear that defines where you live or tells you something about a place? Call and tell us at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Okay, let's guess another one.
When you hear me holler out, "Hey!" Pull really hard, and what do you say?
Oh.
That was terrible. Heave.
Oh.
There you go. We'll get a lot of work done that way. Welcome aboard. Let's get underway. Heave.
Oh.
All right.
Heave.
So that last one was really hard for you guys, and this next one was easy.
I know that was Alice Watts.
I think it was Alice Watts.
That is Alice Watts on the Alma at Hyde Street Pier.
I can identify the sound. It's my wife.
Alice Watts?
first mate on the historic scow schooner Elma, and we think the person calling out the chant was Alice, the first mate,
who was calling the commands for people to haul on the lines.
End of message.
Alice Watts is the first mate on the Alma, a historic flat-bottom boat that set sail from San Francisco's Maritime Park to help people understand what it was like to work on the bay back in the gold rush. Watts has been teaching people how to sail the boat for 20 years.
I came here as a parent chaperone, and I never left. And I'm having a great time. I love being on board. It's my life.
I went aboard the Alma earlier this year. I wanted to learn how being out on the bay can help us have a better understanding of where we live.
Would you introduce yourself to me? Just tell me your first and last name. And
oh, Charter is the first name, and the last name's Kays, K-A-Y-S.
And do you work on this boat, or what's your...
I'm the lead shipwright at the Maritime Museum, or we call it the Maritime Park now. I think maritime education is important because the city of San Francisco and this whole area was really built by maritime trade. When gold, was found at near Sutter's Mill and all the rest of that, you had all these immigrants coming from around the world to California, and then the major port at that time was San Francisco and the San Francisco Bay Area. Well, people would come to San Francisco to get outfitted to go up to the gold fields, and you had immigrants from around the world. Everybody was coming here looking to make a buck, okay? The people who were really making the money were the merchants who were in the cities. The merchants in the Sacramento area and whatnot and everything. I think they were selling all sorts of goods and supplies to the miners and then all the related trades that were involved. So the city, developed as kind of a working man's town. You had saddle makers and you had blacksmiths and you had shipsmiths. Those are blacksmiths that specialize in making iron parts and stuff like that for ships. Tool makers, you had chandlers, ship chandlers that sell supplies to the ships and stuff like that. You had boat builders and ship builders. You had, the city was full of trades. There's a tremendous, phenomenal amount of history here in California that if you go at it full bore all the time, you can't even make a dent in it. And it's, here in the Bay Area, you've got all this kind of history coming together. The Old West meets up with the maritime trade, the Cape Horn trade, the dates of 49, the whole thing is phenomenal.
This is Audiograph. I'm Julie Kane. And this next sound speaks, well, moos for itself. KALW's Jasmine Lopez headed to the Cow Palace for this one.
Hello, California! Elvis Presley, Billy Graham, Elton John, the Beatles, heavyweight boxing championships, it's all taking place inside this great building. But you know what? Tonight, it's going to be a heavyweight matchup between the Cowboys and Cowgirls and the Beast underneath them. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you the 2013 Miss Grand National Rodeo, Missy Elliott.
My name is Missy Elliott, and I'm your 2013 Miss Grand National Rodeo Queen. We're at the Grand National Rodeo the first weekend, and we're just getting ready to start our first performance.
She has traveled over 6,000 miles, increasing awareness about professional rodeo and the Grand National and the legendary Cow Palace. One more time for Missy Elliott.
The rodeo families, they travel from rodeo to rodeo, and they all know each other, and all their kids grow up, so it's a really, really good atmosphere, and to have that at the rodeo is the best.
My name's Jenna Moore. I am putting conditioner on my pig. She is 10 months old, and she's a crossbred between a Yorkshire and a Hampshire. And she's going to be showing in the breeder's class tomorrow.
Get your rodeo jerky.
My name is Eliza McAllister. I'm a naturally born cowboy. I've been on a horse since I was 3 years old. This thing is emotional. You know, when you see a beautiful animal, it touches you.
Here, hold the horse, guys.
Nasty pound, come on. Yes, it's way on. No.
my goodness.
I'm Todd Fitzsimmons, Livermore, California. We came out to watch a rodeo tonight. My favorite part about coming here is all of Northern California kind of converges on one area for the Grand National Rodeo. It's a like-minded way of life. We all feel this way about our livestock and our animals. You look out in that arena and you see the events going on. That's not just an event. That's a way of life.
After the rodeo, we'll be dancing. Oh, it's always good to come to California. Always fun.
We often ask you to call and guess what these mystery sounds are. And when you do that, you get our voicemail.
Hi, you've reached the call-in line for KLW News and Cross Currents.
It might not be as good as talking to a real person, but it's probably better than this.
Please continue to hold, and your call will be answered by the next available agent.
Hold music. It's what a lot of people have spent a lot of time listening to over the past few months as they try to shop for insurance plans under the Affordable Care Act. Our state marketplace, Covered California, is working better than the federal one, but that doesn't mean there aren't delays. KALW's Daniel Moore wanted to know whether that music would make us feel better or worse about waiting, so he went to the experts.
Is there a best kind of hold music?
It is difficult to say unequivocally what type of music is the best, but we can provide some insights.
All lines are still busy. Please hold.
The traditional view is that if you play simple music, you know, the elevator music kind of thing, 4-4 beat cycles, easily memorable repetitive musical pattern, for instance, might be good because it does not arouse the listener and it does not require the listener to pay too much attention to the music that is being listened to. However, recent research turns this logic on its head. We find, for instance, that playing somewhat complex music might be better. We come to this conclusion because usually the listener is upset based on the listener's perception of how much time has elapsed while waiting on the call. We call this the retrospective estimation of time.
Please stay on the line and your call will be answered in the order it was received.
The best kind of hold music is the kind that makes the listener think. So if the music can draw the attention, user's attention, such that his cognitive resources are used in processing the music itself, so if the music is interesting, somewhat surprising, somewhat different, in short, little bit complex that engages the thinking process of the listener, then the listener does not have time to think about other things to fill up the time.
We're sorry, all attendants are still busy.
I want to play you some music, the hold music for the Covered California website, which is the new healthcare exchange in California that was set up as part of the Affordable Care Act. And I'd love to hear whether or not you think it's good hold music. Are you ready?
Okay, go on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of very repetitive. And I'm not able to clearly identify the genre there. But
me neither.
Yeah, but it's very repetitive, so that after the first time the pattern repeated, I switched off thinking about the music and I'm just sort of tapping on the table waiting for the music to end.
Our winner that week was a listener named Glenn. Only Glenn, no last name. You know who you are.
Hi, my name is Glenn, and this is for the Audiograph contest, of course.
Glenn has won 3 times this year, which makes him the Audiograph 2013 champion. Congratulations, Glenn. I'm Julie Kane, this is Audiograph, and we've been listening to a collection of the mystery sounds we've been playing for you all year. It's time for the very last one, one that a lot of you recognized and remembered.
This Laughing Sow.
Big Sally.
Laughing Sow. Is that her name?
And I say that it was the fat lady recorded at the Musée Mécanique.
That robot scared my mother to death when she was a small child.
Perhaps I'll get a return call letting me know how right I was and that I've won $1 million. So look forward to hearing the good news.
My name is Cora Schimitz and my mom's name is Meredith Eldred. We wanted to verify that the sound that we heard on the radio was from Laughing Sow at Museum Mécanique at Pier 39. What number is it, Mom? Fisherman's Wharf. Thank you.
My name is Dan Zielinski. We are at Pier 45. In San Francisco, on the end of Taylor Street, on the Embarcadero, inside of Pier 45. It is called Musée Mécanique.
Stand still so I can hit you.
This is a collection that my dad started back in 1933 of coin-operated antique mechanical musical instruments, arcade machines, fortune tellers, photo booths, strength testers, love testers, games of chance and skill, just turn-of-the-century fun.
And what do you do here?
What do I do here? I'm the guy. What do I do? I do whatever it takes to keep my machines and customers happy.
And how do you get around this place?
I patrol all day on roller skates. I started out on a skateboard out at the Cliff House. I started patrolling back and forth, but somebody stole my skateboard. So I figured, well, they can't steal roller skates out from under me. So I've been skating ever since.
So tell me about some of the most iconic sounds. And I'm thinking in particular about a lady at the entrance.
Ah, Laughing Sow. She's a 6-foot-tall... carrot-topped, curly-haired, mechanical doll. She was built in Philadelphia by the Philadelphia Toboggan Company. As far as I know, they made over 500 of them and sold them all over the country, if not around the world. We have one of 2 that used to be at Playland at the beach, because that machine would run. Laughing Sow would run 7 days a week, every day of the year, for about 16 hours a day. So if one broke, you know, instead of having downtime, they just swap one out. And so she was always going. So if you lived in the neighborhood, Laughing Sow was going every day of your life. Christmas, every day. Nobody will forget this laugh after they hear it. They'll remember that forever. They take that with them.
You've been listening to an Audiograph special from KALW News. Special thanks to Mary Reese, Martina Castro, Daniel Moore, Jasmine Lopez, and Ben Trefney. Audiograph is edited by Casey Miner.
Hey,
Ashley and Krigbaum is our associate producer, and Holly Kernan is our executive editor. Audiograph is a project of KALW and the Creative Work Fund. Do you have a sound we should hear? Call and tell us about it at 415-264-7106. That's 415 864-7106. For KALW News, I'm Julie Kane.